Well, again, good morning. Good to see all of you this morning. Thank you to Bill for filling in for me last week. We were out with Laz the Leaders, and it's good to be back. We're going to continue our study in the Christian graces this morning. And get my remote out. There we go. You know, most Christians want to grow in the Lord. That's why you're here this morning. You're here because you want to grow. You're here because you want to know more. You're here because you want to be more. And God has provided us with everything that we do need to grow in Him. The question is, though, are we? Are we really growing? Are we really growing in the knowledge of God's Word? Are we really growing in our Christian lives? You see, I think, you know, there's a time when we're baptized into Jesus and we become Christians and we have this fire about us. We're on fire for God. But I think it doesn't take long when going through the Christian life, that enthusiasm that we had, that desire that we had, that zeal that we had, begins to become distant from our lives. We settle for some time of mundane form of Christianity. We settle for some kind of spiritual routine, and our spiritual life becomes complacent. It becomes far from what we ever expected it to become. But here's the problem with that. God wants us to grow. God wants us to become wiser. God doesn't want us to stay exactly where we are. So it doesn't matter if you've been a Christian for a day. It doesn't matter if you've been a Christian for 100 years. God expects you to grow. God continually expects you to grow in His knowledge, to grow in your faith. He wants your faith to become stronger every single day. And every single day of life is an opportunity for us to become more and more like Jesus. And these 7 qualities that we're talking about here in 2 Peter chapter 1, I truly believe will help us to become more like Jesus. Peter says you add these to your faith, and not only that, but you increase in them. This isn't a checklist. Well, we talked about moral courage a couple of weeks ago, so I've done that. So let me check that off. We're going to talk about knowledge. I've got some knowledge, so let's check that off, and let's move on to the next one. That's not what Peter's talking about. Peter says you put these things in your life, and you grow in them. And you never stop until the day that you meet the Lord. You don't stop growing in them. For some reason, we get this idea that once I'm baptized and once I get to a certain age, that it's, you know, Christianity is kind of slowing down for me. I'm going to let these young people come in, and they're going to kind of take over, and we're going to see what they can do. It's not the way it is. Christianity never stops. And again, a couple of weeks ago, we talked about adding this virtue, moral excellence, and we really got to the heart of the word, and it's the idea there of courage. And so Peter is saying, listen, you need to add this courage to your faith. You need to be courageous in your walk with Jesus. You need to be able to stand up when you need to. You need to be able to say yes when the world says no, or say no when the world says yes. And this week, we're going to move on. We're going to talk about this knowledge. I want to mention something before we get started about this term knowledge. It's a little Greek play on words here, and I know I'm probably speaking way over my own head, but there's 2 words used for knowledge here in 2 Peter chapter 1. The Greek word that we're going to talk about is the Greek word we call gnosis. Okay, now in verses, if you look at 2 Peter chapter 1, you're going to see in verses 2, 3, and 8, there is a word knowledge used there, but it's a different word than the word that we're using. Okay, it's the word epinosis, which is just a little phrase added there to the beginning. They're somewhat similar, but they are also at the same time different. And I think understanding the difference between these 2 words can help us really see what Peter is trying to show us. The word epinosis is referring to the knowledge of the person of God, to the knowledge of the person of Jesus Christ. In other words, it is the saving knowledge of Jesus. It's the salvation type of knowledge that we're supposed to have. This is the conclusion we come to, that when we say we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, we believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins. It's that obedient type of knowledge. The word gnosis, the word that we're going to be talking about today, is a little bit different. It's more than talking about Bible knowledge. It's more than talking about worship on Sunday morning, listening to sermons and reading the Bible and gaining knowledge from that. Peter, I think, is trying to paint for us a bigger picture here. Peter says it's an investigative type of knowledge. It's not just something I have and that's it. I'm good with that. No, it's an investigative type of knowledge. And we see the word being used again in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, where he encourages us to grow in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Peter says, before you can know who Jesus Christ is, before you can come to that knowledge, you actually got to know Jesus Christ. Before we can have the insight into truth to actually know truth, you have to have a desire to know the truth. We need to have a seeking and have an investigating spirit about us. We have to want to know Christ. We have to have that desire to go and to dig deep and to look. We have to have discernment, the ability to know how to apply this knowledge that we can gain from our investigation. So what I think, in other words, Peter is telling us, I want you to know that this knowledge must lead you to obedience. Must lead you to obedience. And if there is no obedience, then Peter says there is no knowledge. We can't say, I know something, and live our lives contrary to what we know. Otherwise, we really just don't know it. Otherwise, we're just talking. Otherwise, we're just sounding good. We're sounding smart. We're sounding spiritual. And that is what gnosis is. That is what this knowledge is. And that is what Peter is trying to tell us. He's trying to tell us to add this to our faith. Not just moral excellence, but this idea of having an understanding knowledge. It's the same concept that Jesus talks about in Matthew chapter 7. Ask, seek, knock. Jesus says, I want you to constantly be asking, constantly be seeking this knowledge about him. In other words, investigate about Jesus. Investigate Jesus. Jesus said in John chapter 8 and verse 32, you shall know the truth, and the truth is what will set you free. He wants us to simply be a people who are investigating about him. It's like the Bereans in Acts chapter 17. I wish we could be more like the Bereans. If we could put this together with moral excellence and this knowledge, this is what we have. The one who is not courageous is the one who will not search out for moral answers for the immoral problems in their life. I'll say it again. The one who is not courageous, the one who will not search out for moral answers for the moral problems in their life. And this is where it gets hard for us. Because let me tell you what we do, and I do it too. You go to the Bible and you try to prove what you already believe, rather than going at it and saying, all right, God, what do you have for me today? Instead of taking the Bible from a standpoint of opening up God's Word and using it, as James says, as a mirror to say, okay, God, where am I wrong today? What do I need to change? How can I become bigger? How can I become better? Instead, sometimes we open it up and we want to reassure ourselves about something. How do I change my life, God? Peter says you should have the courage to look at the Bible, study it, and then make those necessary changes. Have you ever asked yourself this? Why do you believe what you believe? Maybe you haven't. You probably just did. But why do you believe what you believe? Why are you sitting here this morning? Why are you singing to God? Why are you praying to God? Why do you come to Bible class? I'll say this. I'm thankful for my parents. I'm a little biased, but I think I have two of the godliest parents in the world. I'm thankful that they were members of the church. I'm thankful that they showed me truth. I'm thankful that they raised me in such a godly way. But I cannot get to heaven on that. I wish I could go to the heaven on the coattails of my parents, because I know I'd go. I'd be a shoe-in. I wish I could, but we can't. You see, my faith has to be my faith. And I think that's where we struggle a lot as Christians. My faith has to be my faith. And I tell the young people this. Their faith has to be their faith. They can't get to heaven on mom and daddy, just like Ryan can't get to heaven on mom and daddy. I can't get to heaven by some of the godly people in my life that I look up to. They can't do it. I can't do it. I'm thankful for them, but at some point, my faith has to become my faith. I need to believe what I believe. It needs to be mine. I need to own it. I need to know why I'm here. I need to know why I sing to God. I need to know why I can pray to God. I need to know why I can depend on God. I need to know that. I must search out that what I've been taught and see if it's real or not. Because if you're just going on what mom and daddy taught you, let me tell you something. Or what some person you look up to in your life, if you're basing your faith on that, when the storms of life come, and they will, I promise you they will. When they come, you won't be able to stand. You're going to fall and your faith is going to become weak. And then there's a danger of falling away. But if you've done this investigation about Jesus, if you've done this investigation yourself, and you are growing in your faith, if you have this knowledge that Peter is telling us we have to have, then you know what? When the storms of life come, you're going to be ready. You're going to be ready, and you're going to make it through it. Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6 says that my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And that's a powerful thought. Not only did they not know God, but they quit seeking after God. They just figured, I guess they knew it all. We don't need to know anything else. We know who God is. We know what God's done. Let's just stop where we are right there. And they did that, and that led to their destruction. So let me ask you, do you care enough about God? Do you care enough about the cross of Christ to really seek after it with everything that you have? When you come to the Bible, will you come to it with a searching spirit, or will you come to it trying to just prove what you already believe? And I think that's a very important question that we need to ask ourselves. Because Paul tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 21, Paul says, listen, you need to examine everything carefully. He says to test everything, to search out and see whether it's right or not. Again, test everything. What was read for us just a moment, what Randy read for us. Beloved, do not believe every spirit. Test the spirits to see whether or not they're from God. Why? Because there are so many people out there who claim to be prophets, who claim to be people of God, that are teaching things contrary to the will of God. And as Christians, we need to be able to see that. We need to be able to call that out and say, listen, that's not right. That's not what God is saying. That's not what God means right there. And John says, I want you to have this inquiring mind that says, I'm going to search out to know if the things are being taught are true or not. But here's a problem I think we run into so many times. This is a problem that I see so many times, is we are so afraid to really study deep. We're so afraid of that. And I know why. It's the reason I used to not study very deep. Because people are so afraid, it may mean something in them needs to change. It may mean if I really study these graces, if I really get down to what they really mean, if I really do the investigation about it that Peter commands me to do there, then I'm probably not going to like some of the things that are in my life. It might come to a point where, you know, I've been taught something all my life, I've believed something all my life, and now, you know, the Bible is saying something a little bit different than that. To say what I've been told all my life might not be true, and I need to be willing to look and see if the Bible lines up with the things that I have believed, not what I believe lines up with the Bible. You see, there's a difference there. Some people are so afraid that they may need to change, so they stay away from studying and they stay away from God's Word. They are content to simply come to Bible class and listen to the Bible teacher, or sit in a services on Sunday morning and listen to the preacher, and they're okay with that because they're comfortable with where they're at. Peter says that is no place for someone who is a true disciple of Jesus Christ. You cannot be a disciple of Jesus Christ and be comfortable with where you are at. I'll say it again. You cannot be a disciple of Jesus Christ if you are comfortable with where you're at. Because Christianity is anything but comfortable, because it simply calls us out of our comfort zones. It calls us above and beyond our comfort levels. To be a disciple is to continually grow. And knowing God's word and studying God's word is very important when it comes to living out God's word in our lives. Because if you're not studying God's word, if you're not reading God's word, then guess what? You won't know how to live God's word. And that's a pretty plain fact right there. If you don't study it, you don't read it, then how in the world can you live it? Turn to Ephesians chapter 5 with me. Ephesians chapter 5. I want us to read something together. Ephesians chapter 5, we're going to start in verse 15. Paul says, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time because the days are evil. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. So Paul is here, he's beginning to wrap up this book, and he says this. He says, you cannot walk wisely according to the will of God if you don't understand who God is in the first place. And I'll say in this, knowing God isn't memorizing a few scriptures. I'm not against memorizing scripture. I mean, I'm actually for memorizing scripture. All my life I've struggled with memorizing. I still do. For some reason, I just cannot memorize scriptures like some preachers can memorize scriptures. People come to me and say, oh, brother so-and-so quoted 50-something scriptures in his sermon. Good for him. I can't do that. Okay? Sorry. I know how to read pretty good. But Christianity is more than that. It's important, but it's more than that. It's not being able to quote the whole Bible. I've heard of ministers being able to quote the whole Old Testament and quote the whole New Testament. Good for them. I'm glad. But what Christianity is, what discipleship is being able to take this right here, being able to take God's good book and being able to read it and study it and apply it in my life. Memorization does no good if you don't apply it. We have got to learn to apply God's word to our lives. There's a big difference there. Far too often what happens is that we understand what the Bible says. This morning we talked about love in my Bible class. We're on the One Word series, and our word this week was love, and we looked at love, and the point was made several times. Listen, we can talk about love all day long. We can read these verses about love. We can read verses about love our enemies. They make us feel good. They make us feel good knowing that we can pray for our enemies. But unless we understand how love applies in my life, how God's love applies in my life, then what good is it doing us? 2 Timothy chapter 2 in verse 15 says, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. Turn over to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. I want to read verses 15 through 18. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 15 through 18. We'll start in verse 14. Therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, spotless and blameless, and regard the patience of our Lord as salvation, just as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given him, wrote to you. Also, in all his letters, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things, listen, he said they're hard to understand. And so therefore, he says, people are distorting them. Those that are untaught. And they do also to the rest of scriptures, to their own destruction. In verse 17, he says, you therefore, he's talking to Christians, he's talking to us, knowing this beforehand, be on your guard so that you are not carried away by the error of unprincipled men and fall away from your own steadfastness. He says, you Christians need to know the word of God. You need to know the word of God. He says in verse 18, we need to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And shame on us if we don't grow in that. Shame on me if I don't grow in that. For the rest of the time, real quick, I want to give us some practical tips to help us to, I think, gain more study, gain more knowledge from God's word. I think a lot of times people come to me and they say, you know, what's the best way to study the Bible? I'm going to try to offer some few. These aren't mine. I've gotten these over the years from other ministers, from teachers, from friends. And so I hope that they help you as much as they have helped me. First of all, I'll tell you this. Get a version of the Bible you can understand. So many times people come to me with a Bible and they can't even make out what's being said. And I tell them, I said, go get an English language of the Bible, okay? Go get something that you can understand. There is no greater mistake than reading the Bible and not understanding what it says simply because you can't read what is being said. Something else, take time to read. Too many people, too many Christians, want what we call microwave Christianity. They want to be able to pop in 20 minutes of Bible study and they want to expect their faith to grow leaps and bounds. You cannot put in 20 minutes of Bible study a day and expect your faith to grow in leaps and bounds. You cannot put in 20 minutes of Bible study and expect to have a great feast. To have a great feast, it takes time to prepare, right? If you want a great feast, if you want to enjoy a great feast, you must take time in God's Word. And understand, some sections of the Bible are very, very difficult. They're even difficult for me to understand, and I don't get. That's okay. One of my favorite verses in all the Bible, Deuteronomy 29:29. Secret things belong to God. So if you ask me a question and I say Deuteronomy 29:29, you know what it says. Secret things belong to God. We have to take time to study God's Word if we're going to grow in anything. I know there are people sitting here right now that you want to grow, that you want these virtues that we talk about. You want to be able to say, hey, I've got that. I can do that. I am doing that. And you want to increase in these things. And I'm going to tell you this, you better set a time to study God's Word every day and don't rush through it. It's too important, it's too vital to rush through it. This is God's Word to us, people. The one that created everything, the one that gives us the very breath of life, the one that woke you up this morning, the one that sent this wonderful rain our way, wrote us a love letter. We need to take time every day to read it. And not just read it, but study it. I'm going to give you some advice that was given to me, and it's been very, very helpful to me. It's what we call the three-column study. Some of you may already know about this, the three-column study. It's a great way to study the Bible. Basically, you take a sheet of paper, and you make three long columns on that piece of paper. On the left column, you want to write out the scripture that you want to study, the scripture that you want to add to your life. You want to write out that scripture. In the middle column, you want to write what that scripture means. And you might have to look at some outside sources, and that's okay, to try to really see what the writer is trying to tell us there. And so you write out what that scripture means. And on the very far right, on the third column, this is the most important column. Some of them have a section called I Will. What are you going to do about it now? Here's a scripture. Here's what it means. What am I going to do about it? What am I going to do about it? How is this going to change my life? How am I going to grow in this? Maybe it's knowledge. Maybe it's the knowledge we're talking about. What am I going to do? I'm going to pray to God about it, that God will continually strengthen my faith, give courage to my faith, and I'm going to pray for knowledge. I'm going to pray that I'll be a scripture investigator, that I'll look into Jesus and I'll look at what he wants for my life. But you can't forget column three. Again, that's the most important column. How am I going to do it? How am I going to change my life with this? And you might be looking at me saying, well, Ryan, I ain't got time for all this. I don't have time to take scriptures of the Bible and make three columns and, you know, write it out. What does this mean? What's it mean? I don't have time for that. Ryan, you're crazy. Listen, I know I'm crazy. You ain't got to tell me that. My wife will tell you I'm crazy. My kids will even tell you that I'm crazy. In fact, if we let them, they'd probably stand right here and say, listen, this preacher's crazy. He is out of his mind half the time. That's okay. I accept that. I already knew that. But we have to make time to study the Bible. That's the only way we're going to grow in knowledge. I encourage you, try that three-column study. Try it once or twice a week. And when you do that, I think you'll be amazed at how the Word of God will begin to speak in your life in new ways. You need to learn to ask for help. There's no shame in asking someone for help when it comes to the Bible. In Acts chapter 8 is a wonderful example. Philip runs to the Ethiopian eunuch and he has no clue what he's reading. And Philip hops up there and he says, I'm going to give you some help. I'm going to try to explain to you what's happening here. And Philip does that and he talks about Jesus from Isaiah. And because of that, he believed. Because of that, he was baptized. He was added to the Lord's church. Seek someone out. If you have problems studying Scripture, put your pride aside. And say, listen, I need help. I see what Jesus is saying, but I don't understand how it applies to my life. And most importantly, don't ever give up on God's word. Don't ever come to the conclusion that I know enough to get to heaven, because you don't. Christianity never stops. Growing never stops. There are things that are hard to understand that we will never understand. I accept that. I'm okay with that. But the Bible is much more full with things that will help me in this difficult life. And I need that. I need that in my life. And I truly believe that when we ask God, when we seek, and when we knock, that God will give us the things that we need in life. So take time today. Take time starting from this day to be the person that is growing in the knowledge of God's word. And God promises us, Peter promises us, that he will give us everything that we need when it comes to life and when it comes to godliness. I believe that true knowledge is connected to a courageous faith. So can we say that we really know God if we're not courageously living out what we need? We can, but is it the truth? You know, again, as I said in the beginning, when we're baptized, we're on fire for God. We want to learn. We want to study. We want to read God's word. We want to set up these daily Bible reading plans, and we want to read the Bible through in 1 year. And we have a desire to do that. And maybe you had that desire at one time. You know, maybe you're sitting here this morning and, you know, over time you've noticed, you're looking back that, hey, you know what? I've backed off from God's word little by little. I'm shying away from God's word little by little. I want to encourage you to revive your faith. Live your life in full assurance that what you believe is real. There is something that should be a constant in all of us. As we turn to Jesus, we should be transformed. We should die to ourselves. We should begin to live a new life for him. I want to read this as we close. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present yourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world. He said, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God. What is good, what is acceptable, and what is perfect. So testing, renewing our minds, adding this knowledge to my life is not only going to help us determine what the will of God is, but it is going to lead us to live the Christian lives that he has called us to live. Peter says, add moral excellence, and then he says, add knowledge. A hunger to know more about God. If we can help you in any way this morning, won't you come as together we stand and as we sing.